I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet shall stand within thy gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is builded as a city that is compact together. Whither the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, unto the testimony of Israel, to give thanks unto the name of the Lord. For there are set thrones of judgment, the thrones of the house of David. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Peace be within thy walls, and prosperity within thy palaces. For my brethren and companions' sakes, I will now say, peace be within thee. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek thy good. I chose this psalm with which to start off a new year. As you know, this is the first day of the week, Sunday or Christian Sabbath. It's the first day of the month, January, and indeed it's the first day of the year. So I wanted to choose a passage of scripture that is about beginnings and about where we are going in whatever time we may have left. Now, Psalm 122 is about our going to the place where God says we'll find joy. I don't think it's any surprise that you and I, we humans, are made to where there's a deep longing inside of us for joy. And instead of that being wrong, that's right. You know, you can obviously, the only thing that would be wrong is if you seek joy in the wrong places. Drugs, drink, et cetera, et cetera. But true joy, God wishes you to seek that because he is willing, most willing, to give it to you. And I suppose as a reflection of feeling some joy in the custom of giving Christmas presents, particularly to children, but to also to one another. And, you know, you give things to people you hope will bring them pleasure and joy, and that's all to the good. But let's say with children, those of us who've raised children, we were glad to give them something at Christmas or a number of things. But it usually doesn't take very long for them to wear out with it, maybe break it, maybe even break it over a sibling's head or something. Yours probably don't do anything like that. But some do. And so the, you know, giving presents, that's all to the good, I think, but it cannot be the source of lasting joy, as we have all experienced as parents and indeed as grandparents. Now, the source of joy is found somewhere else, other than in a material present. There's nothing wrong with a material present. That can be good. But it's not the source of profound or lasting joy. We need to recognize that. And I suppose the guidance is given us by the old pilgrims in the Old Testament, the Hebrews, as they were marching to Jerusalem. You had to go up a hill. Jerusalem is on an eminence. I've been there once. And I asked that we sing in the bus, which they agreed to, this Psalm 122. I joyed when to the house of God go up, they said to me, Jerusalem, within thy gates our feet shall standing be. So you go up the hill to get to Jerusalem. And thus, from ancient times, at least from the time Jerusalem was, as it were, registered as the place of worship, the place where the tabernacle and the tent would be of meeting, and then the stone temple, that's where an entire nation walked up the hill to worship the Lord God Almighty. And so from this Psalm 122, which is about that, we can learn at least three things. First, the centrality of the Lord's house to true joy. Second, to fulfill God's commandment to rejoice. You know, Philippians 4:4, rejoice again. I say rejoice. To fulfill that, we've got to go to the right place. And then third, to know lasting joy and prosperity, we've got to be helped by God to put first things first. First, the centrality of the Lord's house to true joy. That's particularly in Psalm 122, verses 1 and 2, which I'm not going to reread. The great motivating factor for real joy is revealed to be the house of the Lord. I saw a little thing on, I don't watch television much, but I was looking for something else, and on there was a man seemed to be very unhappy, and he claimed that he had a few $1 billion. And yet that did not make him a joyful person, according to what I was seeing on the television. That's not where you would get joy. You got to have enough money to pay your bills. That's definite. Nothing wrong with that. And it's nice to have enough to be able to give to other people and help them. Very good. Not a thing wrong with that. Now, however, there's something bigger than having enough to pay your obligations and having enough to help others. Good that that is. And something bigger is going into the gracious presence of God, where he will meet you in his grace and forgiveness and power and love and renewing vigor. Going into that presence is above all other things you can do on this earth. And so there's a good bit in the Psalms and in other Old Testament books that I could quote for you much of the joy and the meaning and the focus of life of the people of God, once the temple had been constructed, is getting to that temple on the religious holidays. And in the temple, there are three compartments. I'm not going into it, but in the central compartment, the Holy of Holies, Sanctus Sanctorum, in the old Latin tag, was that which made the temple itself the holy place, and that which made it, gave it the power to transfer blessing. It was the Ark of the Covenant. In the Ark of the Covenant, which had in it the stone inscription of the Ten Commandments, quote, the ten words given by Moses, by God through Moses to the people. That's what was in the heart, first of the tabernacle, skin construction, and then built of noble stones. And this Ark of the Covenant was at its center with the ten words, which words, Ten Commandments, are in one sense a condemnation to us, because it shows that we don't live up to what God intended Adam and Eve to be and to do. And this Ark of the Covenant, covenant which has the ten words in it, has on its top something very important. It's called the mercy seat. And it has on each end of it representations of the cherubim, the holy angels. We don't know exactly what they look like, veiling their faces before this mercy seat. It was so holy they had to hide, as it were, their eyes with their wings. And on that mercy seat, once a year, the Jewish high priest was allowed to go in, only once a year, and make confession of the sins of the people, and then on that mercy seat sprinkle blood, atoning blood. You know, Hebrews 9:22, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And that happened on the mercy seat, where the blood was sprinkled. Sins were confessed by the representation of God's people through the high priest. And then sins were forgiven. And from that mercy seat, from the one whom it represented, there now flowed not condemnation, not death and destruction, not hell and loss, but there now flowed all the benediction and the love of the Lord God Almighty. Now, this Ark of the Covenant was spoken of as a place of peace. You know, in Hebrew, or some of you would certainly know, the word for peace is shalom. And from this word for peace, shalom, there comes the name of the city, Jerusalem, Jebus Shalom. And in Jerusalem, the most important structure was the tabernacle, then the stone temple, and the most important thing in it was this mercy seat, on which the blood was sprinkled once a year to reconcile the souls of a sinful people and to restore them to the favor of God. And Psalm 122 is speaking about that. And we can think of the New Testament passage, the peace of God that passeth all understanding. Keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. From the shedding of the blood of Christ for sinners who believe, their issues, the most wonderful God-given, God-inspired, God-sustained peace of soul and body. So, to get to the place where we can personally appropriate some of that peace that we so much need and I believe are created, long for, we have to go to the place where forgiveness is offered and peace imparted. And now in the Old Testament, that place was the earthly Jerusalem. But that's not the case now. Jesus said to the woman at Samaria, she said, do we meet God in the Mount Gerizim, which is what the Samaritans say, or do we meet God on the mountain of Jerusalem, Zion? And Jesus answered her most wonderfully in John 4, that they that worship the Lord must worship him in spirit and in truth. And it's not tied to a particular historical, archaeological place anymore. That was the case at one time. But since Jesus is come and paid for our sins and risen from the dead and ascended and sent down his Holy Spirit to all parts of the world, we worship him in spirit and in truth. Wherever the heart is turned up to God to confess its sins and say, Lord, help me, forgive me, help me to worship thee, make me clean, make me to shine as your child. And the mighty God of the universe, believe it or not, devil doesn't want you to believe this, the mighty God of the universe is pleased when you want to worship him in spirit and in truth. And he indeed will come down to meet you and to give you everything you need. And it starts, his coming down, with our, if not literally, at least spiritually, bowing down and saying, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Make me to be restored to thy favor. Make me to shine with your light, whatever it costs me. And God hears such a prayer as that. And so to do that is, in the truest sense, to come to the feet of Jesus and bow down and ask his blessing. Now, Psalm 122 is very wonderful in showing many things. Can't mention them all today. But that putting first things first is a source of true blessing. Wonder what you could ask the Lord to help you do this year. You know, as I've said, it's the first day of the week. It's the first day of the month. It's the first day of the year. We don't experience something like that very often. It'd be another 7 years if we lived long enough to experience all those firsts on the same day. And so to put first things first is the source of true prosperity. We're told in the gospel, seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. To seek first what God has said is the right thing for your life, instead of losing, you will gain. And Psalm 122 verse 6 speaks of this source of true prosperity. You are looking in the right place. Looking in the right place. And people who are very intelligent and highly educated and very influential, they too seek for joy. We don't blame them for wanting to find joy. We all do. But where are they looking? That's the question. Where are they looking? When we look to the Lord Jesus Christ and all that he is and all that he has done for us and all he's doing now, when we look to him, we will be finding ourselves on prosperity ground. Prosperity in the way that God means it. May or may not be the case that you get more money or a better car or more land. I don't know that. That's up to the Lord. Prosperity in the sense of inner joy and blessing and being what God made you to be and seeing your life make a difference in other lives. That kind of prosperity. And you will find it imparted to you and then running through you like rivers of living water. You will find it as you keep coming to Jesus, the one whom the Father sent to be your Lord and be your Savior. And that Jesus is standing here to all who will exercise faith inspired with the Holy Spirit to take our hands and lead us into a new year. We don't know how long we'll be here. We're not worried about that. We don't need to know. It's the last thing we need to know. But Jesus will take your hand by faith and lead you to exactly where he wants you to be in the month ahead and what he would have you do. He will do that insofar as you and I look to him in faith and in trust. All this through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.